Let us now stand up for the reading of the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 17th chapter. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe, by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This is the Holy Gospel. To thee, O Christ. Please be seated. Today's Gospel text was from our Lord's last long prayer that is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. He said these words just before he was captured, tortured, and crucified. We are in the time of Easter now in the church, hence the white clothes. Why are we reading this now? Because this happened before Easter. In the Easter season, we are waiting for Pentecost. We are waiting for the Holy Spirit to come to us. The disciples lived in the situation that Jesus wasn't with them all the time. He only appeared to them time to time, but he hadn't yet given them the Holy Spirit. 1 month ago, my mother died, and a couple of weeks ago, we had her funeral. In the funeral, me and all the other guests, my brothers and my father and all the other people there, we were remembering what my mother had told us. All the stories of the family, all the wisdom that she had shared to us during her life. In one of the kanga is a Kenyan piece of clothing that the women use. In one of the kanga that my wife bought from Kenya, it says, Mafundisho ya mama ni shule ya mtoto. The teachings of the mother is the school of the child. What did your mother or your father or any other guardian you had teach you? What is the wisdom he or she wanted you to learn? Or if you have children of your own, what do you want to teach them? Maybe the death of our Lord Jesus Christ started the same kind of a process in the hearts of his disciples. What had Jesus said? What had he taught? This prayer, of which short part I read to you, we can't find it in the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew or Mark or Luke. Only John remembers what the Lord had prayed. That is why it's so important that we have these four witnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they remember, they are human like us. They remember different details, and they remember different words and teachings from Jesus. And this prayer is John's specialty. The disciples were human. They didn't remember everything, nor did they understand everything Jesus had taught and told them. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples were confused. They were afraid. Only if they had remembered all his words, they would have not been in such distress. Jesus had said that he shall be given to the hands of the enemies, and that they will kill him, and then he will rise from the dead. And this is exactly what happened. And this is the huge difference that we have, for example, between us and Jesus, or me and my mother.
Jesus is not dead anymore. Jesus lives. And not only that, Jesus has given us his spirit that can make us remember everything he has taught us. Through the Holy Spirit, God has given us his word. Some people think that we should be waiting for some kind of a great vision in order to know what God wants or what is God's will. But for the most of us, including me, his word is enough. Rather than waiting for some kind of a special treatment, just pick up your Bible and read it. God is speaking to you in there. In prayer, we may ask for the things that we need from God. The prayer our Lord Jesus Christ prayed was different. He was praying for his flock, his followers, his church. He was praying for you and for me. What are the things that Jesus thought we would need while remaining in this world? We often pray for wealth or for health, but Jesus doesn't actually mention either of those things. What does our Lord think we actually need? Let's go through the text. What does it tell us? Firstly, Jesus talks about God's name and the protection that that name gives. Names are very important in the Bible, and they have their meanings. But God's name is something more powerful than that. When we pray in God's name, and we read the word that he has given to us in his name, God's spirit and God's protection is on us. So let us fill our lives and our houses and our hearts with God's presence, in prayer and in his word. After this, Jesus prays that we would be one. We should be united. But it doesn't mean just being friends with everybody. It doesn't mean just being nice to other people, even though we should be like that. Jesus says that we should be one in God's name, and we should be one like the triune God himself is one. So we should be one in truth and in spirit. Sometimes, and this is the positive side, it leads us to seek connection with other Christians, noticing that we share the same word, that we are one in God. But sometimes this also means the negative side, drawing lines between us and other people, saying that we are not together here. We have to discuss more. Once when I was working in a church in Jyväskylä, I encountered a very gentle and nice person who belonged in one of the Hinduist sects called Hare Krishna. These people, they actually think that Christ, our Lord, is a servant of the Hindu god called Krishna. So when we discussed with this person, he told me, he wished me blessings of the Lord, which sounded very nice, even very Christian. But he wasn't talking about Jesus. He wasn't talking about the same God that we worship here. He was talking about his own God, Krishna. So there was no saying amen to that. And the same applies to all the other religions. We don't have the same God with the Muslims. We don't have the same God with the Mormons. Of course we must be polite. Of course we have to be kind and nice to them. But in truth, in spirit, in God's name that is holy. The truth in God's name distances us from heresies. And one reason for that is that those poor people wouldn't be led into the wrong place believing that their own religion would save their souls, because they won't. Other religions than Christianity will not save anyone. Only Jesus Christ is able to save any soul on earth. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And the other ways lead away from the truth of Christ. Jesus prays that we would be protected from the evil one and be sanctified by the truth. Sometimes some of us might think that, thank God, I'm not like those other ones who worship false gods, that I'm better than them. But this is the wrong way of thinking. First of all, we should be compassionate towards those people. They have been misled away from God, so we should be inviting them back to the natural connection to the triune God. And secondly, we should be more courageous, more ready to share the good news, more ready to study the Bible to know God better, more willing to participate in God's mission with our wallets or with our hearts or by singing like this beautiful choir here. And I'm not saying this to be too harsh on you. I'm preaching to myself too. The reason here why God acts this way is because he wants to give us the best things. He wants to lift us up. As we live our lives here, we have many wishes. I wish I had this thing, or I wish I had that thing. But what God has to offer to you is always better. It's always more lasting. It will make you more happy. For example, I was dreaming of a house. I have lived in many places, and I was dreaming that, oh, it would be so nice to have one house where I could live for a long time and have my family there. So we took a loan and bought a nice home to us, and I'm so very thankful for the house that we have. But as you know, as everybody knows who owns a house, there comes these thoughts, what if I had a bigger house? What if I made an extension to the house? Or what if I had another house by the lake so that I can go swimming like a mökki or something? But Jesus promises us a house too. He promises that we may live in his Father's house. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you all also may be where I am. What could be better? The things here will not satisfy us. You know that. And if it's not a house, you might be longing for other things. A meaning in your life. A relationship. Knowledge. Honor. Beauty. Or whatever. Jesus wants to give you those things. Jesus wants to give you more. He wants to give you better. Maybe not in this life, but in the life to come. Even if it's a car, I have to say this is my weak spot. Every day I search for a car. My wife knows. I always ask her, what do you think about this one? What did God give? He gave Elijah a chariot of fire. That would be so cool. Don't settle for what the world offers to you. Don't put your life and your hope and trust into this world, because the cars, they rust, the houses, they burn, the relationships, they break, and all these bad things happen to us. But God has got something better for you. I actually think that these desires that we have for a house or whatever in the hearts, that they mean actually that we are missing God here. We are missing safety. We are missing stability. We are missing wisdom. We are missing glory. We are missing eternity. And only God in heaven can fulfill those desires. And because we are fallen and mortal, it makes us unhappy that we are not satisfied with what God gives us in this time. I think Jesus meant exactly this when he prayed that they may have the full measure of joy within them. And Jesus did so much more than prayer to give us that thing, all those things to us. Jesus had it all in heaven. As the Son of God, living in his father's house, in perfect relationship with God the Father, in perfect joy. Jesus gave all that up and was born here for you. He gave it all up for you. And he suffered and was crucified for you, so that the source of all our problems, which is sin, would be forgiven, that it would be erased. Through Jesus, God has opened the doors of heaven to us, to whom the doors of heaven were closed to us, but because Jesus died and was resurrected, the gates of heaven were opened wide for us to walk in. Not yet, but soon. Through baptism and faith, we have access to heaven. God has forgiven all your sins in the name and in the blood of Jesus, so that you may have the full measure of joy. That is what we are looking forward to in this world. Amen. Let us confess our faith. Let us rise up for that. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.